Thank you, Charlie. Good evening. Have you ever been hurt by the words that someone says? We're living in a society today that seems to have no bounds or no bounds at the length that it will go to promote every form of debauchery and sinful thing imaginable. Yet this is the same generation that is offended at anything that they perceive to be contrary to their beliefs, calling such racist. The definition of racism has changed. It's not the same as it used to be, or they will call it politically incorrect. I heard on the news this week that a man killed 8 people, and he even gave a statement as to why he did it. This is why I did it. They arrested the man, and he said, "This is why I did it." However, when the media saw that most of the victims were of Asian descent, they wrongfully concluded his motive must have been racist. It must have been racial. Despite the fact that this man said, "This is why I did it," the fact that some of those people, or the majority of those people, were of one nationality, the media jumped on and started saying it was a racial attack. Even our vice president spoke out that something needs to be done to stop this racial violence. Sometimes preachers use the pulpit as a bully platform to promote their own opinions and their own agendas. This is nothing new. It's been happening for decades, if not more. However, we have a bigger problem in America today, in that with the introduction to social media, everyone has a platform to fan the flames of an extremely biased media and to fan the flames of propaganda. Our nation has become more and more divided than ever, all because of words spoken and manipulation. We're being played and we don't even know it. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." The tongue is a powerful thing and has been something of God's concern since He created man. In fact, He commanded that man should use his words wisely. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 16. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 16. "Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor." Think about what this passage is forbidding. It's saying that you are not to use the tongue to express the things in your mind that are a false accusation against someone else. Think clearly before you open your mouth. One of the things that the Lord hates is a lying tongue. Proverbs 6 verse 17. Today, people don't seem to have a problem with lying at any level. Our government vacillates back and forth, saying one thing one day and claiming it to be true. The next day, changing their mind and saying something completely opposite and claiming that also is true. The so-called fact checkers have taken it upon themselves to have all the authority of even God Himself, claiming that whatever they say is truth. This is what we have to say, and then they shut your mic off to where you can't respond, that their voice is heard and no one else is. No one is given the opportunity to dispute them. They just shut down the gainsayers as false and oppress the real truth. But lying is just one way that the tongue can hurt people. James chapter 3 and verse 6. James chapter 3 and verse 6. It says, "And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell." I love to fly. I love to be in an airplane and look out and see everything. I love to see new places. However, I despise the hassle that you have to go through the checkpoints and to go through the baggage claims and take off your shoes and all the nonsense that goes with traveling. Once I get through all of that nonsense and I'm sitting there in my seat very patiently waiting for my turn to board the plane, I enjoy that as much as I enjoy the flight itself or the visit to the new place. I enjoy being able to watch people, such a wide array of people, different nationalities, different races, different everything. When you think about it, there are lots of things that you can tell about a person by the way they dress. Is he from Texas? Is he from the north? Is he from the beach? Or what about the way someone is built? Does he have an eating disorder? Is he a fitness buff? What about when they open their mouth? Do they have an accent? Do they speak a different language? Around here, there are usually just two prominent languages. We don't hear a lot of others. English and Spanish. We seldom hear any other languages. However, we were in Tennessee a few years back and we were on vacation and we took this tour to look at an underground waterfall. And as you go through this cave and you go way back in and you get to this area and there's this underground waterfall. It's 50, 60, 70 feet high. It's beautiful. We went in there and there was a bunch of tourists as we go through this. And there was a family on this tour that was from somewhere else. They were speaking a language I had never heard before in my life. I was fascinated with this language. I found it very interesting. However, I had no idea what they were saying. It could have been profanity. They could have been speaking in an ill manner towards us and we didn't even know it. They could talk straight to our face with a smile on their face and say, "You're nothing but an American dog," and I wouldn't have understood what they said. Thank you. Whatever he said, I don't know. Because we didn't know what they were saying. So the way people use their tongue can be used for good or bad, especially in our language. I know God knows what they were saying. Luke chapter 6 and verse 45. Luke chapter 6 and verse 45. Jesus is speaking here, and Jesus says, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things." Or that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. For of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. This is not to say that evil people can't say good things or that good people can't say evil things, but that the tongue is capable of bringing forth that which is in your heart. And bringing it out and revealing it to everyone. You ever said something and wish you could take it back? We all have. Sometimes we jab and poke at one another for fun. And sometimes we say things that are hurtful. But just watch the look on someone's face. When they say something that's hurtful to you, even in jest, and you say, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." And they will stop and think, "Maybe I shouldn't have said that." Sometimes our joking and our jesting goes too far. And we hurt someone. And they don't tell us we hurt them. And so we don't realize it happened. Sometimes we have to be reminded of our place as Christians. And we need to be able to control our speech. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6. We have to learn to control our speech because it is within our power. No one else can do that for you. In fact, even with your children, you have to, we look at them, sometimes a child will say something and the parent is furious, but it's so hilarious, the parent has to turn their face to keep the child from seeing them laugh at what they just said. Because that was bad, but that was funny. I don't care who you are, that was hilarious. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6 says, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how you ought to answer every man." We have to work on this. What does this verse say to you? This is a charge to Christians to speak in such a way that it edifies others. When we hear someone using profanity out in the world, it is a bit expected. Not that it is okay that they do so, but that they don't know any better, or they seem to not know any better. However, many times people will say things like, when they notice you're there, "Oh, excuse my French." Or before they spew forth profanity, they'll say, "Excuse my French, but..." when they know a Christian is present and they do that, this just means that they do know what they're doing. It's not that they don't know it's bad. It's that they do know that it's not acceptable. They just don't control their tongue, nor do they want to. The Christian, however, is commanded to be in control. If you think about that, you can't even control your own words. That's pretty sad. I see big, strong men that think that they're something else. They're probably stronger than me, faster than me. But they can't even control their tongue, nor do they want to. In fact, it seems to be that people think that they're even bigger and tougher and meaner if they can use profanity. It makes them a more of a man. Well, it doesn't. It doesn't. James chapter 1 and verse 26. James chapter 1 and verse 26. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. His religion is empty. It's useless. That's what that word means. If any man among you seems to be religious and bridleth not his tongue. It's interesting that the word bridle is used here when James in James chapter 3:3 says, "Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body." A very small person, a little child. You ever see one of those kids? I watched a video one day, and this little girl leads this horse up, and she's holding the bridle way up here, and she leads the horse over to this fence, and she climbs up the fence, and she pulls that horse closer to the fence. She climbs up the fence, and she uses this fence to get on this horse because that horse is way too tall for her. She barely even came up to the bottom of the horse's chest, yet when she got on that horse, the first thing she did was she turned that horse away from that fence and took off across the field. A very small person with this bit and this bridle is able to control something as powerful as a horse. Likewise, as Christians, we need to control our tongue. We need to control the things we say. We need to control our words, not just around the kids or just around the lady, guys. When someone spews forth profanity, it shows a lack of respect for the people around and a lack of respect for God. 40 years ago, men watched their language or watched their tongue around ladies. They wouldn't say certain things. There's a lady present. In fact, men would hear other men using profanity and they'd come over and they'd say, "Excuse me, there's a lady present. I'm sorry, sir." They would apologize. Now you go do that, you're going to have a fight on your hands. The man's going to say, spew forth even more profanity at you for asking him to control his tongue. What's even worse is now many of the women speak even worse than that. We hear profanity from the women that's worse than the men. It's scary. James has a lot to say about the use of the tongue. James chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. James chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, it says, "But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God." People who use profanity usually do it for one of two reasons. First, it is that they are simply too lazy to express themselves without using these words. And that may sound like a charge or an accusation against someone. Oh, they're just too lazy. Not too lazy, just do it. Well, I say too lazy because they will do fine expressing themselves in front of their preacher or in front of their children or in a job interview or whatever the occasion calls for. But that takes effort. However, when they feel that no one is around who matters, they totally lack self-control. The second reason is usually for effect. People are looking for shock value. You ever see somebody get mad and the madder they get, the worse the profanity gets? They're trying to shock you. They're trying to get across how mad you really make me. They will throw out certain words, and those words are designed to trigger something in our minds. In fact, watch two men get in an argument, and one of them starts using profanity and throwing it at the other one. It's used to agitate him and get him riled up. The worse the profanity, the more he's agitated. The worse things he calls him, the worse he's agitated. This is the shock value. However, nowadays, it seems like nothing shocks people anymore. But they keep throwing out the profanity. Look at the people of Jeremiah's day. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 6 and verse 15, Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 15, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not ashamed at all. Neither could they blush. Let me tell you something. If you're listening tonight and you have a habit of using profanity, try this for one day. Spend the whole day with pure speech. Don't use one word of profanity in any manner or anything at all. And I promise you, at the end of the day, no one will notice. No one will notice that you seasoned your speech or you failed to season your speech with profanity. A lot of people say, and I've talked to people about this, the worldly people, and they say, well, it's just a way of expressing yourselves and it's just garnish on the language. It garnishes the language and gives it a certain pizzazz. Try not doing it for one day and no one will say, wow, I didn't hear a single curse word. Now, if you have every other word out of your mouth, that may only take one sentence before they're shocked and say, well, what's with you today? But for the most part, people don't even notice. You can quit using that language 100% and most people won't even notice. They just won't. When the worldly people around us are not ashamed of the things that come out of their mouths, that's really not surprising, considering that we're told in Psalm 10 and verse 7, his mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. But when a child of God is so careless with his words or her words that they don't care who may be hurt by the things that they say, then there is a problem. James chapter 3 and verse 10. James chapter 3 and verse 10. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. How many times when you get in an argument with your spouse, does your voice start to raise? Your temper starts to rise and you start to scream and you start to holler or you start to yell or you start, things escalate. Any argument, not just with your spouse, any argument, it tends to escalate. As Christians, we need to learn how to control our temper, but most of all, we need to control our tongue and don't say those things that would cause shame or bring reproach upon the church. When one becomes a Christian, it may be difficult to walk away from all the worldly practices that we've involved ourselves in over the last 20, 30, 40, 50 years, whatever the case may be, however you are old when you become a Christian. So you may have a big burden of sinful behavior that you have to stop that has become habitual over the years. And it may be difficult to control that. It may be difficult to walk away from those things. But one of the toughest things to get control of is the tongue. And here's why. We can absent ourselves from every single temptation that's out there. Literally every temptation, we can absent ourselves from those things. We can even absent ourselves from those people who use a lot of profanity because it affects us. But we can't absent ourselves from our own tongue. It goes everywhere we go. We have to control it. We have to learn to control it. The answer then must be in learning how to control the tongue. In many instances, people try to get everything in their lives right, and they try to straighten things out, and they're living for God, and they're wanting to do right, and they're trying to make changes one after another, and working towards that goal of being that kind of person that everyone looks at and says, that person is Christ-like. But the tongue seems to be the last frontier, so to speak. Not in everybody, but oftentimes it is. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 34. However, the Bible teaches that if we will learn to control our words, then we will be able to have control over every other aspect of our lives. Isn't that interesting? If we can control, James chapter 3 and verse 2, if we can learn to control our tongues, then we can control anything. James chapter 3 and verse 2, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man or a complete man, and able also to bridle the whole body. There's that word again. You're able to bridle or bring into control your whole body if you can learn to control your tongue. Everyone already has a good start because you've already learned that you can control your tongue around certain people. Don't say things around this person or that person. Sometimes we have to be aware of the sensitivities of others. And I'm talking about, well, we don't want to be so oversensitive that we throw everything out there as an accusation, or we take everything as an accusation against ourselves. One of the greatest attributes of the Christian comportment is how we use our words. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Abstaining from corrupt communication is a pretty broad admonition. I mean, pretty much anything that is not wholesome could be considered corrupt communication. So then, not only lying and using profanity, but what about gossip? I believe we saw that in the command to not bear false witness. But gossip is more than just bearing false witness. We think of it as people making up lies about someone and going and spreading those. But gossip can just as easily be the spreading of what is truth, or what sometimes may be complete truth, but in a way that brings shame upon that person or reproach upon that person's family, or makes other people think badly of them. This is true. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 19, he that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with the lips. Gossip is a slippery slope that we all sometimes find ourselves on, in that through the gift of communication, we tend to want to let others know what is going on, and therefore we want to tell people about things. However, letting everyone know that the exit to the subdivision is closed so that they can take another exit is different than letting everyone know that someone in a moment of weakness committed a sin. There's a difference. And we know the difference. If we don't, if we act like we don't know the difference, we're being ignorant. Well, I didn't know. It was true. What I said was about, it was true. Yeah, it was true. But you didn't have to say it. You didn't have to say it. This person maybe have already repented of that sin. They may be planning on coming forward to repent of that sin, and you just made it worse. The person who gossips is called, as I mentioned, a talebearer in the Bible. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 13. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 13. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth a matter. We have to know when to speak up, and we have to know when to keep our mouths shut. There comes a time when we need to just keep our mouths shut and not reveal those things. Sometimes we have to use some self-control in saying, I know this needs to be said, but I don't need to say it. It doesn't need to be said. Or I know this is interesting. I know this person would love to hear this. Doesn't need to be said. God commanded his people not to do this way back in the book of Leviticus, Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 16. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 16. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. There used to be a long time ago, and I may be dating myself with bringing this up, there was a commercial on TV. It was a shampoo commercial where the woman says, I told two friends about Fabergé Organics. Immediately, her picture doubled. There was two of her. And they told two friends, now there's four. And they told two friends, now there's eight. And so on, and so on. Every time she says, and so on, the picture increases and the pictures get smaller and smaller because your TV doesn't change. But the amount of people doubles each and every time. The point of that is, if everyone tells two people in a very short time, everyone will know. Today we may say something like, I posted it and two friends shared it. Next thing you know, it went viral. It's bad enough when we gossip among ourselves and our peers. However, social media makes our seemingly innocent gossip a really big deal. How many times have we seen in TV shows that are semi-reality shows. They're based on reality. And we've seen young people take their own lives because of cyber bullies, someone degrading them and talking bad to them and talking down to them and telling them how worthless and useless they are. And the parents have no idea this is happening. The Bible gives us instruction on how to keep gossip from spreading. Proverbs chapter 26, verses 20 through 22. Proverbs chapter 26, verses 20 through 22. Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. The first part of this verse says, where no wood is, the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. Okay, so if strife is to gossip what fire is to the wood, where there's no wood, the fire goes out. Where there's no one to spread the tales, the strife ends. You think about what that says. That is saying that your gossip is causing strife. We can stop it if we so choose. We also use our words for destruction when we teach false doctrine. Even if we believe that we're teaching the truth, that is why we need to be careful not to go beyond what the Scriptures teach. Whenever we're teaching, and that doesn't just mean when standing before a class of students or when standing here in the pulpit. I know that we have our Enhanced Biblical Studies class. And Charlie, contrary to his own belief, is one of the best teachers we have. He's one of the most sought-out teachers we have. Whenever he comes and teaches, people come to that class and our numbers increase. And Charlie's lessons are very simple. They're put together in a way that anyone can understand them. And he uses illustrations about his long life that people can relate to. And so he teaches those things. But you know what? Charlie gets extremely nervous when he gets up there. Most people can't tell it. I can tell it because he keeps telling me that he does. But you know what? He's not nervous because he's speaking before a crowd. He's not nervous because he's standing up and he's speaking in front of a lot of people. He's not nervous because the cameras are rolling and it's being broadcast on Facebook and he's just afraid he might spit or he might stutter or he might say something wrong. Charlie's nervous because he's bringing the Word of God to people and he's afraid if he messes up. He doesn't want to make a mistake in bringing God's people the Word of God. And that's why he's nervous. We've got to continue to teach the truth. That doesn't mean, well, I may say something wrong, so I just won't say anything at all. I'll just stand down. That's just as bad as teaching false doctrine. Matthew chapter 15, verse 8 and 9, a very familiar passage. Matthew chapter 15, verse 8 and 9. This people draweth near unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Those people that are teaching false doctrine are teaching in vain. When we look at this passage, we seldom think that it very well could be talking about us. We tend to think of those false teachers whose teachings have gotten so far from the truth that anybody can look at it and say, man, those guys are out there. They're off the wall. And they usually are, yet they seem to be able to find gullible people to deceive all the time. We need to make sure that we use our speech to edify by remaining in the doctrine of Christ and not veering from it, not leaving it. 2 John 1, 9 through 11. 2 John 1, verse 9 through 11. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. If you don't believe this is a big problem, just think about the principle behind the shampoo commercial. I told two friends, they told two friends, and so on and so on. Imagine how many people have been led straight to hell because one person taught false doctrine. Then those that they taught it to others, and so on and so on. But the good news is this. The same thing or the same principle works for teaching the truth. When we teach sound doctrine to others, speaking where the Bible speaks and remaining silent where the Bible is silent. You think about this. In 2003, we hired a preacher like we'd never had before. We hired a preacher who was loud. We hired a preacher who was knowledgeable. We hired a preacher who loved the Lord and wanted to teach the truth. And because of that, another preacher went to preaching school, another person went to preaching school, became a preacher, and another, and another, and another. The influence that we can have by the words that we speak and the things that we say can be used to edify and to bring God's people to a better knowledge of God's truth and to bring glory and honor to God. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. God gave us a beautiful gift that he gave no other animal on the planet, the ability to communicate. But many have abused that gift and used it to hurt others, and worse yet, to lead others away from God. Let us be very cognizant of the words that we use, not only in the world and in the church, but let us be careful how we speak to our family and to those closest to us. Maybe sit down, husbands and wives, and say to one another, if I've hurt you or if I've offended you in something I said, I'm sorry. And I don't want to do that anymore. I want to keep things pure. I want to keep my speech pure. I don't ever mean to hurt you. And I hope you don't mean to hurt me either. We have the ability to communicate, to get across our minds or our thoughts to others, preaching the foolishness of men, the wisdom of God. God gave us the ability to communicate. Let's use it wisely. If you have any need, if you have not obeyed the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we must hear the word of God. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We must believe. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We must repent. Luke 13 and verse 3, I tell you, nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. We must confess that Jesus is the Son of God. Matthew 10, 32 and 33. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. We also must put Christ on in baptism. Mark 16, 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. If you have any need, won't you come while together we stand and sing the song that's been selected.